Yeah, hello everyone. I'm Dave and I'm an addict. Can you hear me all right? Yeah, okay. Thanks, Tracy, for speaking. I really like some of the stuff you had to say, and I really identify with your story and your process of in NA and stuff. And I really like you spoke about the steps and stuff because that's where it's at, really, isn't it? I remember my first sponsor said to me, if we come to NA and we don't work the steps, we're just a bunch of people talking bollocks. And it sort of made me laugh, really. Yeah, so I identify with that. And yeah, I just want to thank I want to thank Natasha for asking me to come and speak. For me, it's always nice to be asked, and I think it's always a privilege to be asked. And I will make reference to our literature a little bit, and it talks in the literature, doesn't it? It says how it's in the 12th step, it talks about how it's our purpose and our privilege is to carry a message, and I try to do that whenever I can. And today's been a bit difficult, really, because footy's on, isn't it? Footy's on. And Natasha said to me, she said, I'll contact you. I'll send you the link before the meeting. And when she asked me, I didn't realise till a few days later that it falls upon the same time as the football. And I was thinking, please don't send me the link. I hope you forgot, all that sort of stuff. And she sent me the link this morning. Today I was thinking, I was thinking, how can I get out of this? I really want to watch the football. How can I get out of this? And then I just thought to myself, I thought, have a word with yourself, Dave. And I'll tell you why, because if I wasn't in recovery and I was using, and I'd really wanted to watch the football, and the call came for the call came and the fella said, right, I've got whatever it is you want, you need to get in now, the football wouldn't have come anywhere close to it. So that's really what I've tried to do in recovery, really, because what I did when I was using. It talks about it nice, doesn't it? It talks about how we had is a negative power greater than ourselves, and active addiction. And oh, sorry, I'll speak for myself. If I flip that negative power and use it positively in my life, and apply it to my recovery, I'm going to do all right. I'm going to do all right. And so I thought to myself, what if the call came from the fella, little R on the street corner or whatever they call themselves nowadays with their baseball caps and whatever, I'd soon go run into him and I'd soon go run into him and wait on the corner for 2 hours, and have all these plans in my head. I'm going to rob him when he gets here, and when he turns up, I'm his best mate, and I ask him if he wants me to clean his car or anything like that, that sort of bollocks, really. And so it was a bit of a no-brainer, really. There's a few things I do when I get asked to speak, and one of them is I hold a Just for Today keyring, and the reason why I do that is because when I first came here, and when I dragged my backside into Narcotics Anonymous, and I asked a guy to sponsor me, when he was speaking at meetings, that's what he did. He held a keyring. And it's the cliche stuff again, isn't it? If you want what we do and are willing to make the effort, you can have what we've got. And that's what he did. I wanted what he had. So I did that, and I still do that. He doesn't come to the fellowship anymore, and hopefully one day he might come back and tell us what that was all about. It's his story, it's not mine. And another thing I do is I always have a stopwatch. I've got a stopwatch here on my phone. And the reason why I do that is because I think it's really important to stick to the time I've been given. So it's just something I do. And another reason for the stopwatch is because I it's not so bad nowadays. It's on and off, really, nowadays. I can get quite nervous when I'm speaking in meetings. Over Zoom, it's been okay. I did a face-to-face meeting in Clapham. Couple of weekends ago, I was asked to speak there. That's where I bumped into Natasha, and she asked me to speak here. And it was the first time in ever how long I was in a face-to-face meeting speaking, and and I felt so vulnerable. I felt exposed, you know, and I was really nervous. But it's not so bad over Zoom. You know, I'm familiar with Zoom and the platform, you know, through my work. You know, we have lots of team meetings and meetings and stuff over this platform and another platform. So I'm familiar with it, so I'm all right with it. But I have the stopwatch because once the nerves go, once I feel a bit settled, I can talk. I can talk, man. Honestly, I can talk about the good times I've had in NA. You know, I can talk about the not so good times. You know, I can talk about the successes and the joys and the celebrations. You know, I can also talk about the sadness, you know, and the loss and the times I've royally messed up. You know, because I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to sit here and speak and, you know, and pretend that I'm this perfect recovering addict, because I'm really not. You know, I tried to do that for my first few years. I tried to be the perfect recovering addict, whatever that means, you know, and it was hard work. And, so through my time in NA, you know, I've messed up. I've done things I shouldn't. I've said things I shouldn't, you know. I've acted in ways that I'm not very proud of, you know, but I've also acted in ways that I'm really proud of. You know, I've also done things that I'm really proud of. You know, I've also said things that I'm quite pleased with. You know, it's about balance, isn't it? You know, my first sponsor said to me, he said, "Dave, this stuff's all about love. You know, it's not about beating yourself up." He said, "You've done enough of that." He said, "This is all about love, about being kind to yourself." You know, Tracy touched on it a bit. And I just think back of when I was a kid, you know, before I picked up any sort of narcotic. You know, the literature tells us that, you know, that the drugs is a symptom of our disease, right? And you know, so I had symptoms of our disease long before narcotics came on the scene. And what I mean is, when I was really little, I used to suck my thumb and I used to sniff on a pillowcase, you know. And when I did that, I escaped from reality. And how I know that is because, you know, when I was doing that, I'm not going to dwell too much on my past. It is what it is, you know. I grew up in a household where I was exposed to some stuff I shouldn't have been exposed to as a young kid, as a young boy. I shouldn't have been exposed to some stuff. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And, you know, so what I did, I used to suck my thumb and sniff on this pillowcase, and it used to take me away from what was going on in my house. And, you know, and I hear people share that, you know, when they was growing up, they felt different to everybody else. I don't know about that, because one thing I didn't do, you know, I didn't run up to whoever I was knocking about with on the estate and ask them how they felt. You know, it just wasn't in my vocabulary. But what I did know, I knew that it felt awkward being me. You know, I just felt awkward quite a lot of the time, and my thinking would run away with me a lot of the time. But when I sniffed the pillowcase and sucked my thumb, all that would stop. And then what happened was, you know, narcotics came on the scene. And, you know, I'm not going to go for, you know, drugalogs, even if that's a word. You know, people talk about drugalogs. Is that even a word? You know, I'm not going to go through that. Well, I heard a fella share once, and I thought I'm going to use that, because that's how this stuff works for me. You know, I come to meetings, I hear people share their experience, you know, and I think, yeah, I identify with that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to have that. And I heard a fella share once, and he's, you know, this is all I'm going to say about the disease of addiction when narcotics came on the scene. You know, it cost me more than I ever wanted to pay. And I don't just mean financially. You know, drugs had me doing things, you know, Tracy touched on it, had me doing things I didn't want to do. And two, things I didn't think I was capable of doing. I don't mean horrendous things. I really don't. And when I say horrendous things, I don't mean like extreme violence or anything like that. You know, I was nothing like that. And it had me using drugs, you know, one, that I never thought I would use, and two, using them in ways that I never thought I would use them. That's all I'm going to say about that. You can fill the blanks in if you want. And and I got to the end of, I remember I was sitting in my house and I just used whatever it was, and I was up here. And when I was up here, I wanted to be down here. So I tried to use whatever it was to get me down there, and I couldn't get it in me. And something just went, and, you know, internally something just clicked. And I said to myself, I can't fucking do this anymore. You know, I sort of knew that, you know, my life was never meant to end up like that. You know, I was never meant to be like that. I knew there was more out there than the way I felt and the way I thought about myself in that moment. And one thing I did know that I really held close to my heart was I deserved better than the way I was living. You know, I deserved better than that. So I went somewhere and I asked for help. You know, I went somewhere and I was honest with them for the first time. And I remember the woman's words like it was yesterday. She said to me, "You've never asked us for nothing." She said, "In all the years you've been coming here, you've never asked us for nothing." So she coined a phrase, to coin her phrase, she said to me, "I'm going to strike while the iron's hot." She said, "Because the window of opportunity closes just as quick as it opens." And I just looked at her and thought, what the fucking hell does that mean? You know, and within a period of time, I was sat in a detox facility. And I remember, because I'm from Basingstoke originally, I remember driving away from the town, and we was going down the M3 towards Portsmouth. And I remember looking back and I don't know, just something just lifted. Something just lifted within me, and I just went off on this journey. And you know, I turned up at this facility, and there was a guy in there, and they let you go out on a tube on a Wednesday and a Friday night. A taxi would come in. He said to me, "Fancy coming to a meeting?" I went, "What is that? What is that?" He went, just come. What I know now is he 12-stepped me, right? And it's mad, you know, he 12-stepped me, and you know, 5 years later, I ended up being best man at his wedding. And when the lockdown's done, I'm going to be godfather to his three children. You know, and I didn't know that then. You know, and he took me in his taxi, and we went to this meeting, and I said, "What is this?" He went, "Oh, it's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting." You know, I didn't know about that. You know, I heard about the Liquid Fellowship, but I didn't know about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I mean, I remember pulling up in this taxi, and I was in a right old state. You know, I was detoxing from whatever. You know, I looked like how I felt, if you know what I mean. I looked like how I felt. You know, I'd take a few steps, I'd be out of breath, sweat pissing off me, I've heard it, and you know, and I looked, and the mad thing is that meeting. I went to that first meeting. And I live about 20 yards away from it now. You know, and I remember pulling up in a taxi, and there was, you know, people looking really well and healthy and stuff. You know, and I just looked at them. You know, Tracy was talking about looking at the similarities, not the differences. You know, and I looked at the differences. You know, I thought, yeah, these people have never been where I've been. They've never, because they didn't look like they had. They've never felt how I feel about myself. And then, you know, and something happened that night, and I'll tell you what it was. You know, a guy walked out of the meeting, walked out of the building, and I thought, fucking hell, that's such and such. I used to use with him. He disappeared a couple of years ago. I wondered where he went. You know, I used to use with him, and I bought my first bag or whatever it was off him quite a few years previous. And, you know, and I went up to him and I said, what are you doing? He went, all right, Dave. He said, how are you doing? He said, I've been coming here for 2 years. He said, I'm 2 years clean. And I believed him, because how he looked the last time I saw him to how he looked then was, you know, a paradigmic shift. And in that moment, you know, it was, you know, in the second step, isn't it? We come to believe that power, you know, can restore. In that moment, I don't know if it restored me to sanity because I was mental, but I believed what he was saying to me. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have a go. You know, I'm going to have a go. What have I got to lose? You know, so I went back to the detox and I was just thinking about this fellow I saw for hours, you know, and I went off to a treatment facility. And the reason why I say about the treatment facility is because Tracy spoke about it. Tracy spoke about a magnificent bit of service that we all do in here called H&I, you know, and in August this year, you know, I will celebrate 11 years clean. And the reason why I say that is because I have enough faith in this program. You know, I have enough faith in this program to know that if I do the stuff I've done up until August the 20th, I will get to 11 years clean. And please, please don't think that's me being arrogant. It's not. I have enough faith in this program to know that. And every single year or every single month, every single day, whatever you want to call it, I've done H&I service. You know, I still do H&I service, my local H&I committee, which is Hampshire. And because these people were coming and bring meetings into us. And I remember I was in the treatment place and this guy came in and spoke. You know, I'm really good friends with him now. He came in and spoke, and it was the first time ever in my life that I'd identified with someone's thinking and it had nothing to do with drugs. You know, and I just thought, fucking hell, I thought I was the only one that thought like that. You know, and I don't know, and I just thought, that's it, I'm sold. I saw my mate at my first meeting. He shared about his thinking and I identified, you know, because I could talk all day with you about, you know, scoring, you know, preparing drugs, how I used to use them, you know, different this, that, all bollocks, really. You know what I mean? I could talk all day with you about that. But when I identified with this geezer and it was nothing to do with that, it just took my head off, really. Just thought, wow. Yeah, and I completed that bit of treatment, you know, and I just got involved, really. I got involved with NA. You know, what I did is I followed the people that came before me. That, you know, they said to me, get a home group. And I thought, what's a home group? So I asked the questions, what is a home group? And they just said to me, it's a meeting you go to regardless of what's going on. You know, you commit to the meeting and you go to it and you build friendships and relationships in there. So I chose, in Portsmouth, I chose the men's meeting on a Sunday morning. And I'll just give you an example. Because when I first got clean, you know, the drugs went, I spoke about earlier, I don't know if I felt different to everybody else, but it was awkward being me. You know, the drugs went after how many years, and I was back to, it was awkward being me. You know, I couldn't, Tracy spoke about self-esteem and looking people in the eye and all that. I couldn't do that because, you know, and it's only just been recent years I've been able to articulate why I couldn't do that, because before I didn't really have a clue, you know, and I couldn't look you in the eye because I thought you could see how I felt about myself. You know, I was so shameful, full of guilt. If I had conversations with you, I'd sweat, you know, I'd be so self-obsessed about fucking saying the wrong thing. Try my best to deflect with humour. You know, I make myself look like a right twat. And if I looked at you, I'd do that thing. You know that thing where you just look past the side of their head and sort of try and look behind them? You know, I'd do that because I couldn't hold gaze with you. You know, and I went to this men's meeting and it was daylight. You know, it was Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And, you know, and that's how I sort of gauged my how I was getting over my self-obsession, really, because I got there and I sat in this room, and I kid you not, I did not have enough about me to be able to walk and go to the toilet. You know, I was super glued to the chair. And slowly over a period of time, I was able to have a little bit about me and able to go to acknowledge, thank you. Yeah, you know, I could share lots of stories with you about, you know, my amends process with different people, you know, about this and about that. I could share with you about how I've made errors, you know, how I've said stuff I shouldn't have said, done things I shouldn't have done, you know, but fundamentally through it all, you know, I've stayed close to Narcotics Anonymous and I haven't put one in me. You know, I haven't used, no matter what I've done, which is a testament to what we're doing here, because, you know, I'd use over anything. I didn't need an excuse to use. I just used, you know, I just used and, you know, and, you know, I'm just going to talk a little bit about, you know, Tracy spoke about carrying the message and everything she does. You know, I'm just going to talk about, you know, and my job I have today. You know, I feel really privileged to do the job I do. I'm not going to go into it too much because it's an outside issue and it's not what we're about in here. But you know, coming from someone that walked out of school when they was 14, no, that was a lie, 15, because I thought I knew it all and school wouldn't teach me anything, you know, today I work for, you know, I work for the local authority. I work in child protection, you know, family safeguarding. And those of you that know my story with my children, you know, it's just really apt that I work in that environment. And I just feel really privileged to be able to do the work I do. You know, what I do is I go in and I work with the adults, I work with the parents to reduce the risk, you know, and our main aim is to keep families together. You know, it's not to remove children and we're very successful at it. And it's a real privilege to be able to do that. And I wouldn't be able to do any of that, you know, if it wasn't for you guys in here, you know, the people that come before me saying, do you know what, Dave? It's going to be all right. You know, nobody's ever told me not to do anything in here. You know, what they did say to me is, do what you want as long as you're prepared to pay the bill, because there will be a bill. Because if someone would have said to me, yeah, don't do that, don't do this, I would have gone, fuck off, who do you think you're talking to? Just add all that out there. It's all about love in here, isn't it? Love and nurture. But I'm going to shut up now because my time's done, and I said it's really important to stick to the allotted time. But it's really nice to see some faces, you know, and yeah, thanks for letting me share. Thanks.